having beautiful earrings.
Having beautiful earrings.
Translation: the woman's nose, teeth, and forehead were very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with excellent earrings. The body of intelligence enjoys the opposite sense gratification. It covers smell, vision, and hearing. In other words, sound beautiful nose indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is the instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste, or by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word sukha polam indicates the clear brain, people who understand things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set upon the two ears are placed there by the word of the intelligence. Thus, the ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. The waist and hips of the woman were very beautiful. She was dressed in yellow sari with a golden belt. While she walked, her ankle bells rang. She appeared exactly like the dancers in the heavenly planets. Purport: this verse expresses the joyfulness of the mind upon seeing a woman with raised hips and breast dressed in attractive sari and protective ornaments. With the end of her sari, the woman was trying to cover her breasts, which were equally round and well placed side by side. She again and again tried to cover them out of shyness, while she walked exactly like a great elephant. Purport: the two breasts represent attachment and envy, symptoms of raga and pleasure described in Bhagavad Gita. Attraction or repulsion from sense objects are felt by embodied beings, but one should not fall under the control of sense and sense objects because they are stumbling blocks in the path of self-realization. These representatives of attraction and envy are very much unfavorable for advancement of spiritual life. One should not be attracted by the breasts of a young woman. The great saint Shankaracharya describes the breasts of women, especially young women, as nothing but a combination of muscles and blood, so one should not be attracted by the looser energy of raised breasts or nipples. They are agents of Maya and could victimize the opposite sex. Because the breasts are equally attractive, they are described as somewhat overdone. The sex impulse remains in old age, old man's heart also, even up to the point of death. To be rid of such agitation, one must be very much advanced in spiritual consciousness, like Yamanacharya, who said, Yadavadi mamacheta krishna pararavinde navanava rasadam daman ujitam rantamasi tadavadi vattanari sangamane svayamane bhavati murka vikara sushku nishtiva namcha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing every new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought my lips curl with distaste. When one is spiritually advanced, he can no longer be attracted by the love of flesh and blood, which is the breasts of young women. The word nirantaro is significant because all of the breasts are situated in different locations, the action is the same. We should not make any distinction between attachment and envy. As described in Bhagavad Gita, they are both parts of Rajaguna. The word nibuhantin, trying to cover, indicates that even if one is tainted by kama, lobha, and krodha, they can be transfigured by Krishna consciousness. In other words, one can utilize kama for serving Krishna. Being impelled by lust in ordinary work, we work hard day and night. Similarly, devotees work hard day and night to satisfy Krishna, just as karmis are working hard to satisfy kama, krodha. A devotee should work in the same way to satisfy Krishna. Similarly, krodha can also be used in the service of Krishna when it is applied to the non-devotee demons. Hanumanji applies anger in this way. He was a great devotee of Bhagavan Chandra. He utilized his anger to set fire to the kingdom of Ravana, a non-devotee demon. Thus, kama can be utilized to satisfy Krishna, and krodha can be utilized to punish the demons. When both are used for Krishna's service, they lose their material significance and become spiritually important. Ranjan, the hero, became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face of the very beautiful girl and was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lusty desire. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Ranjan, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. For part of every living entity is a hero in two ways. When he's a victim of the looser energy, works as a great hero in the material world, as a great leader, politician, businessman, industrialist, etc., and his heroic activities contribute to the material advancement of civilization. One can also become a hero but become master of the senses and go along. Material activities are false heroic activities, whereas restraining the senses from material engagement is great heroism. However great a hero may be in the material world, he can be immediately conquered by the lusts of flesh and blood known as the breasts of women. In the history of material activities, there are many examples, like the Roman hero Antony, who became captivated by the beauty of Cleopatra. Similarly, a great hero in India named Bhaji Rao became a victim of a woman during the period of Maharashtrian politics and used to be. From history, we understand that formerly politicians used to employ beautiful girls who were trained. as a Shikanya, these girls have poison injected into their bodies from the beginning of their lives. So in due course of time, they become so immune to the poison and so poisonous themselves that simply by kissing a person, they could kill him. These poisonous girls were engaged to see an enemy and kill him with a kiss. Thus, there are instances in human history of heroes being curved on the divine limb. Being part and parcel of Krishna, the living entity is certainly a great hero, but due to his own weakness, he becomes attracted to the material features. Krishna Bhagavan Kamaya Bhoga Manchakare Nikatasta Maya Tare Jagatiya Hare. It is said in Prema Pavarta that when a living entity wants to enjoy material nature, it is victimized by the material energy. The living entity is not forced to come into the material world. He makes his own choice, being attracted by beautiful women. Every living entity has the freedom to be attracted by material nature or to stand as a hero and resist that attraction. It is simply a question of the living entities being attracted or not being attracted. There is no question of being forced to come into contact with material energy. One who can keep himself steady and resist the attraction of material nature is certainly a hero and deserves to call the Gosami. And thus one's master is a sense that he cannot become a Gosami. The living entity can take one of two positions in this world. They may become a servant of the senses, or they become master of them. By becoming a servant of the senses, one becomes a great material hero. Becoming a master of the senses, to become a ghost on or a spiritual hero. The woman's known stage before her were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful. Her neck with 1,000 earrings, the waist and hips of the woman were very beautiful. She was dressed in yellow sari with a golden belt. While she walked, her ankle bells rang. She heard accepted the dance from heaven. At the end of her sari, the woman was trying to cover her breasts, which were equally round, well placed side by side. She again and again tried to cover them out of shyness while she walked exactly like the elephant. Pranishna the hero became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face of the very beautiful girl, was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lustful desires. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Pranishna, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. And so this is a continuation of the allegory, and we must remember that Puranjana actually represents the jiva, and this represents his body. So we find that he meets this other person here while he is in his city, and this actually is also symbolic. So it is a woman, but this represents intelligence, and she also has 10 servants with her. And she also has a snake with 5 heads with her, which represents the 5 pranas. And of course, the 10 servants from the 10 senses. So therefore, all of this is symbolic. So these verses here are placed in this way to illustrate the fact that he became very attracted to intelligence, just as a man will become attracted to a woman. So in this, for this reason, this woman is described here in detail. So the jiva becomes attracted to the intelligence because it becomes useful for him in his quest for enjoyment in the material world. Of course, here the intelligence itself becomes the object of enjoyment. But if we analyze very carefully the jiva, Jiva is actually using the intelligence to enjoy in the material world. But here the intelligence itself is described as an object of enjoyment for the for Jiva or Paranjana. So as Prabhupada has commented here, the intelligence is there. The intelligence is control of the mind and the senses. In the sense that the intelligence provides means by which the senses can obtain their sense objects, and it will also judge which object to obtain and which to reject. So this is the function of the intelligence. Of course, the mind also is involved, but the intelligence is the discriminating factor which elevates the human being to a little higher level than the animals. By various means, he can fulfill his desires, and this is not available to animals. So he has options available to him. So this, of course, is one use of the intelligence for satisfying material desires. We also know, of course, intelligence has another function, because we see that sense objects are there, and the senses are there, and higher than that is the intelligence, and higher than that is the Atma. So technically speaking, the intelligence should play a superior role, and not simply involved in enjoyment in the material world along with the mind. In normal cases, what we will find is that, yes, the Atma is in control in one sense because the Atma desires enjoyment. And therefore, the mind and the intelligence function to fulfill that enjoyment by observing the world and getting different objects. But the intelligence also has another use, because it is buddhi, or discrimination. Ultimately, if one comes to Satya Gun, then we can begin to distinguish body from Atma. And we'll find that we can conclude, I am not the body, I am the soul. This is a function of intelligence, so this is part of jnana in Satya Gun. So this is an arrangement of Krishna in the material world. Inbuilt within Satya Gun is the possibility of realizing that you're not the body, by using your intelligence. So, therefore, we cannot really condemn intelligence because it does have a use. It can be used for discrimination. Therefore, the process of jnana is there to utilize that buddhi, discrimination, to give us conviction that we're not the material body, but we are the Atma. So this, of course, is the first, one of the first stages in spiritual development. So intelligence is useful in that way. Intelligence also is useful in bhakti, because Krishna also says that you also employ your buddhi in service to me, along with your mind. So in terms of bhakti, how do we use buddhi? One, of course, is that we intelligently read the scriptures and come to scriptural conclusions. Of course, the jnanis also do this, but the jnanis are concluding about Atma, whereas the devotees are concluding about Supreme Lord. So the devotees can use their intelligence to come to the proper conclusion of scriptures that yes, the body and Atma are different, but higher than the Atma is Paramatma, and higher than that is Bhagavan. So to come to that conclusion, we use our intelligence. And the acharyas go through the scriptures using intelligence and come up with the proper conclusion. So that is another function of intelligence. When we come to this stage, we cannot say that this is still in the gunas. Yes, sattva guna intelligence is in the gunas. This is directly described in 11th canto Bhagavatam. Jnana is in sattva guna. So simply the distinction of Atma from body is in sattva guna. When the intelligence is used to conclude about the Supreme Lord, that is no longer sattva guna. That is beyond the gunas. So Bhagavat Jnana, knowledge of the Supreme Lord, that type of knowledge is beyond the material world. It is not within the gunas anymore. So it is very special. So we can utilize the intelligence and the mind, as well as the senses, in such a way they no longer are material, and they give no material effects, so they give no karma. When they're engaged in the service of the Lord, then they give spiritual effects, not material effects. So they're not called sattva, raja, tama anymore. They are nirguna, beyond material things. So that is the process of sadhana bhakti, to engage the senses, mind, intelligence in the service of the Lord with great faith. And what this does is, it increases the tendency in the jiva to serve the Lord. That is, bhakti in the jiva increases. And consequently, the enjoyment in the jiva decreases. So this is the way in which controlling the senses takes place, controlling the mind, senses, etc. takes place. So we had two functions of intelligence. One was to utilize intelligence to find out how to enjoy objects in the world. The other is to utilize intelligence to conclude about the Supreme Lord. So when the jiva has a stronger tendency to serve the Lord, then to that extent he gives up use of intelligence for enjoying in the material world. So by engaging mind, intelligence, and senses in bhakti, eventually the jiva gets to the stage where the enjoyment tendency in the jiva, material enjoyment tendency, completely is destroyed. That stage is called prema. So that is all taking place within the jiva. So bhakti has two levels. One is where we are using the external senses, etc. And inside the jiva actually has a tendency to serve the Lord, but it is mixed with his desires for enjoyment. But through that service, using the senses and the mind and intelligence, gradually that tendency in the jiva to enjoy the material world decreases until it becomes zero. And that is the perfection of bhakti. Well, actually, it's not kama. It's not the same type of kama anymore. There is, in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami also refers to kama as actually, and Bhagavatam also is described kama when it's describing prema. So it's not the kama in the material world anymore. It is actually prema. So they are very different. Because one is trying to get enjoyment for the self, the other is a very strong desire to give enjoyment to Krishna. The only common factor there is desire. But the desire is directed differently, completely differently. So therefore, the kama, when it describes the gopis, is completely different from the kama in the material world. It has a similarity, of course, but also it has a great difference, because it is directed to pleasing the Lord rather than getting our own enjoyment. And the same with anger. It may look the same, but actually it's quite different. The anger in the material world is a manifestation of tamagun. The anger that a devotee shows is not tamagun at all. It is only an aspect of his rasa. There's a rodra rasa. So this is only an aspect of his love in relation to the Supreme Lord. It's got nothing to do with the material tamagun at all.
As
such, no, because those become obstacles. Arjuna asks Krishna, how is it that without our wanting to, we commit sinful activities? And he says, kama krodha. So if we get anything else, sinful activities in the material world to enjoy, we cannot really advance the bhakti by that. So that type of kama and krodha cannot be used. To utilize kama and krodha in bhakti, that of course is a very high level. It's not that every jiva can do that in the beginning of his practice. I'll start using my kama for Krishna and my krodha for Krishna. It won't work. You'll simply get more involved in the gunas. That kama and krodha, the gopis or Hanuman or whatever, is they're already nitya siddhas, so it's completely different.
We see the shastras always that man is being attacked by the woman, can be vice versa. Even
woman
can be in
same. Yeah, it doesn't. This one says man attracted to woman.
Most of the cases have that.
Yes, yeah. It's man centered, but actually it goes both ways. That's all. It doesn't mean it's only the man. It's the woman also. Brahmana becomes a woman in his next life, actually.
Yeah, actually, what the thing matters is the faith what the people have in God. What matters is the faith what people have in God. Even before they start the service to the Lord.
They have to have faith. We have a tendency to serve the Lord. That has to be there. Otherwise, it's not bhakti.
Well, mentioned about the beyond the material. because devotees are expected to be beyond the anger. They should not have anger.
Mm.
Here this machine is krodha can be utilized for the devotional service within the demands.
Yeah, well, what I said is this is a very high level. It's done by the nitya siddhas, not by normal material world. You can't do that for a sadhaka.
But the main two obstacles to God explanation is attachment and envy, not anything else.
What?
The main obstacles what has been mentioned here is attachment and envy, not karma, krodha, or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Then, why we do so much importance about this karma, krodha? Why we not try to cut off attachment?
Well, it's all the same thing, attachment and envy, or just same itch and vesha. Itch is desire, which is like kama, or attachment. And krodha is anger, and another aspect is hatred, another aspect is envy. They all go together.
Soul is spiritual in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So how intelligence, which is a mode of goodness, is able to discriminate something which is spiritual?
How the?
Intelligence, a mode of goodness, is still in the mode.
Yeah.
But still it's able to distinguish something which is spiritual.
That's the arrangement of the Lord. In Sattva-gun. Sattva-gun. That's the arrangement of Sattva-gun that the Lord makes. He gives sukha and prakash. These are the qualities of Sattva-gun. Sukha means not material happiness, but happiness in controlling the senses. When it's content and gets contentment from sense control, then Sattva-gun. And prakash means revelation. So this is an aspect of Sattva-gun that it gives real knowledge. Knowledge of Atma. That's the arrangement that Lord has made in the material world. So it's like a little of an opening within the gunas itself for developing spiritually.
Thank you.